Chapter 3. Hard Lessons Learned.
If your only tool's a hammer, then every problem looks like a nail. Gowrie.
The summer-like heat settled onto the small group clustered around the tiny, open grave. A single lone figure, garbed in a white priest's outfit, stood stock still a step away from the opening in the earth, glassy eyes unwavering from the small urn he held in his hands. Subaru's mouth moved, perhaps saying a few last words to send his sister's remains to the eternal gods, or to quell her restless spirit. Whatever it was, no one else understood. Nels, Lada, and Zelos, in full priest regalia, each offered words of solace and uplifting hopefulness. It was what they could do. Philia, in her pale priestess robes of the Sifi believers, whispered her prayers. By her side stood both Silphiel and Amelia, dressed also in their white shrine priestess gowns. Dark and solemn as the night, Rezo and Mayor Phil stood like solid pillars, between which was Subaru's grandmother, who, despite being in a wheelchair, had an erect and strong posture that made her seem powerful. The kids had been surprised at how youthful she appeared. Like Rezo, the years had been kind to her. At a motion from Nels Lada, the grandmother wheeled forward and nudged Subaru to action. The poor kid nearly dropped the urn, but caught himself in time, then lowered it to rest upon a small cement platform below ground. He reached into a nearby basket of flower petals and scattered a few into the grave, like the falling of sakura petals, Hokuto's favorite flower. In a few weeks, a fall chill would turn the summer green leaves to bright colors, and they would fall off, no longer useful to the trees. The trees would enter their winter, summer, and wait for spring. Zelgadis had explained all this to Subaru, that now was not the time to plant a young tree. Just wait a few more weeks, he'd said. Then Subaru and he would return and plant a small cherry tree over his sister's grave. In a few years, the tree would grow and drop its petals like tears over her grave to mark her passing. A few more weeks, he'd promised. One by one, each of the onlookers followed suit, pinching up a couple petals and then dropping them into the opening. Soon the small earthen pit was filled with delicate blossoms, hiding the urn, and it was time to go.
"I'll be taking Subaru back to my place for a few days," the grandmother told Zelgadis, who had asked. "He oughtn't be alone, but I know he needs to get on with his life soon."
Zelos, who had been speaking to Subaru, sidled over to the grandmother.
"We'll call you tonight and talk more. I have some thoughts about what he might do, okay?"
The woman nodded and recited her number while he punched it into his cell phone memory. She shared a few more words with each of the adults and turned to leave, Subaru falling in to man her chair. He hadn't said a word aloud to any of them. His hair was unbrushed, his dressing the suitable priest's garb, nothing more. He was not doing well, and everyone knew it. But how could he? Betrayed by the close friend who had declared his love for him repeatedly? Seishiro had hidden his true identity as a syndicate assassin, then turned on and murdered Subaru's twin sister, Hokuto. Subaru had lost two of his only connections to the living world in one terrible moment, and he was only 16. No, he was not doing well. The kids, without Subaru, were all gathered at Lena's. Luna had invited them to come back to her place after the funeral Sunday. She had hoped both Subaru and his grandmother would have attended, but they would not. Not this day. Another time, perhaps. Zelos sat on the floor, backed up to a wall, alone, gloomy and meditative. Zelgadas stood by him now and then, offering him a drink and receiving an occasional grunt in reply. Zelos was carrying the guilt of that murder on his shoulders. Zell knew that his friend would sink into depression himself if he couldn't find a way to help Subaru. Val, sporting a huge hangover from celebrating late the night before with Gilles and Gravos, was slumped onto the couch. His defense at the court of law Friday had been instrumental in getting his ex-friends off with a probationary sentence. Consequently, they had taken him out carousing, something he had not done for a very long time. It had been a bad decision. He should have gone back to the settlement as planned, but because of the funeral the next day, he had recanted and stayed in town, and gone out. Bad decision. At the funeral, his pain-stricken face fit right in. Now, all he wanted to do was go home. Luna thumped into the room and pressed an ice pack to his forehead. Stupid child. That out of her system, she launched into a lecture. At least you got it straight that drugs are poisons. Well, alcohol is too. No, duh. Val moaned and waved her off. By the time you're 25, if you're still drinking enough to get sick, get hungover, or worse, then you're stupid. Plain and simple. Getting sick like that is your body's way of telling you it's being poisoned. And anyone who can't learn from a mistake like that, it's damn unpleasant, isn't it, Val Agares? It's just stupid and he deserves it. One more thought, then I'll shut up. Respect your body. Pay attention to what it's telling you. Take care of it. Luna ran her fingers tenderly through the snarled green locks a few times, then left the room. Gowrie took up the conversation from there.
Yeah, my brother thought nothing could hurt him. Everything that happened to him, every problem, even every good thing got him drinking. Especially the problems. Bad grade, fight with his girlfriend, whatever. Shoulda talked to Dad. He would have listened. Should have gotten some doctor's help.
Gowrie glanced over at Zelos, who hadn't moved. But his eyes were open, watching, then went on.
He didn't talk to his other friends about stuff. I guess it wasn't macho enough. He just turned to what worked. Same thing every time. Beer made him feel better, and forget his problems, I guess. Yeah.
After a moment or two, he concluded,
if your only tool's a hammer, then every problem looks like a nail. Those guys aren't good for you anymore, Gowrie said pointedly to Val.
Val mumbled his agreement and threw an arm over his face, smashing the ice into his face.
Ugh.
Lena got up and put a hand on Gowrie's arm. He's up on him now. He's not your brother, and he's not going to do this again anytime soon. Then, in a rare, compassionate moment, she lowered her voice and added, I'm so sorry about your brother, Gowrie. I know this day must have been tough on you. His sad blue eyes met her subdued red ones with unabashed fondness.
Yeah, funerals. We're too young for them. Thanks, Lena.
Zelos looked away. For some reason, it made him angry inside to watch them. He was awash in emotions. The funeral had affected him more than he thought it might. Subaru. The guy had hardly spoken a word since his sister had been shot. Their grandmother had told him that he hadn't even moved from a chair in his room until today. And, regardless of what the others thought, had Zelos been vigilant and not distracted by his own selfish interest in Eris, he might have been able to stop the whole thing.
Zelgadas,
Zelos whispered, Knowing that with his heightened hearing, Zell could detect his voice in any crowd, he caught Zell's attention from across the room where he was mingling with Amelia and Silphiel. Philia had gone back to the settlement with Milgazia, who had offered a ride to both kids. Val had passed. He feigned a touch of a cold coming on or something, and let Zell drive everyone over to Luna's in his Suburban, then collapsed. If Milgazia guessed the true nature of Val's malaise, he had certainly said nothing and let it pass. Zell stiffened. Zelos needed to get out of here, he thought to himself. I'd better go now, Zell muttered and withdrew.
But Mr. Zelgadis, Miss Silphiel's father will be here any time to take us home. Can't you wait until then?
He checked his watch first. All right. 5 more minutes, Amelia. Then we are expected at Subaru's. Zell acquiesced under the littler girl's melting gaze. It was getting harder for him to push her attentiveness off as just a passing phase. It was getting harder to simply ignore her. And it was most certainly becoming harder to lock away his surging male hormones and resist her pleasant company. Maybe 6 or 7 minutes. Zelos had managed to get on his feet and stroll over to Zell's side. Inside, he smiled secretly. A secret one, hiding it from his friend. He was tired of being the one on the emotional roller coaster. It was about time Zelgadis had his heart ripped from his body for a change and... What was that? Nell's Lotta is stopping by. Zelos piped up.
Yes. He needed the car today after the funeral, and said he'd stop by after, you know, we had some time to talk here.
Silphiel answered gaily. She alone had undampened spirits that day, perhaps because until recently she had been in another world, with her now ex-fiancé. His car's coming, Zell noted. He was quite good at recognizing the sounds of his friend's vehicles, and discerning them from several blocks away. What a way to use his acute hearing. Zelos moved to the door first. I have an idea to pass by him first. Mind? Zell shook his head. I'll keep the girls occupied. Zelos returned to his benign persona and smiled slyly. I'm sure you will. Zell frowned. What do you mean by that? But Zelos had already skipped out the door. Minutes later. It's all set. That is, if Subaru agrees, which I think he will. Mercurial as ever, Zelos was now out of his funk and sporting his usual smile. Scheming again, Zelos? Lena asked, as everyone was now hovering by the door to leave.
I think Subaru will be better off staying at the White Shrine in town, with us around him, than back with his old crowd.
Zelos looked Zell's way and got an approving nod.
So we'll go talk to him and his grandmother about it now, and pack some of his things and take him over today, or tomorrow if he'd rather. Otherwise, he'll eventually be going back to living alone in that place, and, nice as it was, it's got to be filled with memories.
Haunted, Lena whispered.
He's certainly too young to be alone, Amelia agreed.
Will he drop you off at our place later? Or forget that. Just give me a call at home, Zelos, if you need a ride back. Zell offered.
Thanks,
Zelos said, then rushed out the door on his errand of mercy. Zell sighed. A sigh of relief. He was glad Zelos had found his own solution, at least for the time being, and rid himself of the blues. Zelgadis and Zelos were talking in Zell's room, at home after Zelos had successfully convinced the grieving, nearly comatose Subaru to move into the White Shrine in town. Zelos would now be spending more time there again. Zelgadis was typing up their last lab report for school the next day, when the computer made an odd noise. Zelos jumped a foot.
What?
Zell looked at Zelos, wondering what had bothered him so much.
Huh. Ah, that's one of my mental cues.
You don't say,
Zell replied dryly.
Not another of these fuzzy conversations. It had been a while, but it meant that Zelos was entering a happier, though restive, phase.
You see, Zelos continued, not bothered by Zell's indifference. I hear a word, or in this case, a particular sound, and it reminds me to... Well, just what it was is not the issue here, is it?
Or is it? Zell smirked.
No, it isn't. I follow the little thoughts and make the connection inside here.
Zelos pointed to his forehead.
And my brain answers, what's up?
Go on,
Zell sighed. Zelos was examining Zell's expression, trying to figure out what Zell had meant.
That look was just me being happy that your brain and you are, in fact, in close association.
Zelos scrunched up his face and then went on.
It asks me what's up.
You're repeating yourself now, Zell smiled smugly.
Up!
Zelos raised his voice, and I say, you tell me, and it answers.
This is still just the two of you, right?
Zell chuckled.
Yes, me and my brain's central clearinghouse, which answers, wow.
That all? Zell asked.
Don't you see? I get this cue, a signal reminding me about something important, but I hadn't filled in the factoid. So when I get there, and all I get back is, yeah, you expecting something? Kinda disappointing, really.
Zelos flopped back onto Zell's bed.
Zell just stared at his friend.
Weird, huh? Zelos smiled faintly, his eyes closed.
Stuff like that happened to you?
Never.
Really?
I thought everyone...
No,
Zell assured him.
No one but you. You are unique in yet another oddball way. Must be the wiring.
Huh?
Oh, wiring. Well, I have so many ideas. Things to do. Helping Subaru cope. The dance studio. The musical with Lena. Creating a recording studio.
After we do that free recording we won from the Battle of the Bands, Zell reminded him.
Not to mention school.
That doesn't really fit in very well. But I'll finish this year, like I promised you.
At least you got that stupid notion about getting married and starting a family out of your head.
Too bad about that swimming instructor, eh? I guess two scarred, messed up guys like us didn't compete with that hunky weight-training boyfriend of hers.
Zell smiled down at his friend.
No, I guess not. On the other hand, you can swim the width of the pool now.
Yes, but I still hate water. And my hair. I have to work in conditioner before I get it wet, and it still smells like chlorine.
No, like I said a week ago, I don't even want to date anyone. I hate the games.
Zelos pounded on the bed with his fist.
Strange, coming from you. You were always the player, the game master.
Not.
Zelos swallowed and covered his eyes with an arm.
When it hurts so much.
Zelgadis shook his head.
Sorry about Eris.
So, how about we leave this abode and join Val out at the TV for some ice cream? He picked up something new he wants you to try.
Zell simply hated to discuss personal things, and avoided it whenever and however he could.
Zelos took a shaky, deep breath and controlled his emotions.
Okay, little brother, I'm coming.
They were all three settled into comfortable chairs or the sofa in the front room, savoring their dessert.
You watch this Discovery Channel much?
Val asked.
Zell and Zelos shook their heads from opposite chairs.
Val continued. Yeah. This one's been talking about the difference between males and females. genetic diversity due to hormones. Zell said succinctly. Val shot him a dark look. The presence of testosterone in particular compartmentalizes male brains, especially in us male teenagers, so we don't express our emotions well. Well said. Zello smiled without concern for what was being said. Well, some of us, Zell noted while looking at Zellos, who then struggled in response. I've read about those studies in England, and I don't think that it covers or explains all the many exceptions well at all. Val nodded. I figured you out, he said, meeting Zellos' eyes. Zellos raised an eyebrow. Be nice. Val waved him off. Yeah, like why you gotta tell us about your feelings all the time, and overreact and cry so much. I don't cry. Yes, you do. Now shut up and listen to Val. I'm curious. Zell snapped. It's not because you're gay or nothing. Because you're not. And you're not girly. I wasn't going to say that neither. But your brain lost its compartments with all those hits to the head. Scrambling things up. Broke up the separators, dividing left from right. And there you go. You got in touch with your feminine side. Nothing wrong with you at all. Pretty good, huh? Zell nodded. Could be. Zellos narrowed his eyes. It's not scrambled. You're thinking of eggs. The moment Zellos and Zelgata stepped over the threshold to the school, they wished they hadn't. Blood drive. What with ballets and funerals, it had passed out of their memories. Both of them. We could turn around and go out to lunch, Zell suggested. Too late, Zellos said with a faint smirk. Here comes your little vampy admirer. That's vampire today, Zellos. Zell corrected him. Although, in that oh-so-revealing tank top and skimpy shorts, maybe Zellos wasn't so far off the mark.
Oh, good! I was afraid you might not make it in time. Mr. Val's saving you a place in line,
Amelia said breathlessly. You ran all the way from the gym to meet us? Zellos smiled.
Of course!
She grinned and led them to the line to fill out questionnaires and get further instructions.
I'm going to check on Miss Lena and Miss Philia. They're already resting. Mr. Gowrie and Miss Sylphiel are still giving.
How nice, Zellos said with no conviction, watching her flit off. Your name? Asked the nurse. Zelgadas Greywords. That's Grey with an E and not an A, and Zelgadas with a Z. She checked a list of names, then, satisfied that his name was not on it, shoved a paper and pen in his hands. Read these instructions and sign on the line, then take a seat over there, she said, waving off to an open doorway. Next! Zellos Metallium. That's with an X and not a Z, he smiled. She scanned her list, then stopped, frowned, and looked up. I'm sorry, but you may not be a donor. Say what? He asked, taken aback. Why not? Well, she hesitated and looked over her shoulder for help. She managed to get the attention of another woman assisting at the table, who offered to take him aside and explain. Why were they so reluctant to talk to him? What could possibly be the problem? What was the big secret? Zellos was seated in the nurse's office waiting. He waited a long time. This was getting absurd. He was about to get up and leave when the school nurse blocked his way with her clipboard. Sorry to have kept you waiting, Mr. Metallium, but I wanted to check your file first to be certain no mistake was made. And? He prompted her, his growing annoyance evident in his voice. Well, first of all, I'd like to express my deepest sympathy for the loss of your mother last term. I always considered it an honor working for her. Didn't we all? He muttered. So about my problem? It's the rules of the blood-collecting agency, young man, not mine. Here, you can read their disclaimer yourself. Okay, he would.
It says here that no male homosexuals may participate. I'm not gay, he nearly growled, as if it's anyone's business.
Not just gay, but any boys participating in male-male sex are unconditionally...
What do you mean? I don't. I haven't. He sputtered, truly incensed.
Our records show from the hospital that you had frequent...
Records?
That was private material. How were his records open books at his high school? He frowned, looked at her lovingly.
That was years ago. Nearly 5. I was attacked.
He stood up and yanked up the bottom of his shirt to reveal a wedge of skin marred with ritualized laceration marks.
I was raped repeatedly and nearly murdered by my stepfather.
She ripped her eyes from his tear-filled, haunted eyes. I know, and if it were up to me,
I have had every blood test possible for years. I carry no diseases. You can verify that with my doctor. I'll call, he ranted defensively.
It doesn't matter. I'm sure most of the other boys are clean as well, but it doesn't matter. The blood collecting agency will take no chances, and so forces us to scan the records and pull anyone who does not match their criteria. She was calming down now that she had the rules to back her up. It's the case with all blood drive organizations.
It's not fair. That means all gay guys would have to lie to give blood, then, as well as a multitude of other innocents, he mused pointedly, leaving himself out of the thought.
That's why they ask us to scan the records at the school first, she said smugly.
His eyes latched onto hers again. How did those records get here?
I suppose your mother had them sent here when you were enrolled. You were on medication at the time for severe...
I know. Don't tell me about it. It was a mistake. Zealous.
He clenched his hands into fists.
That bitch! He howled,
and hammered the desk hard enough to crack off 2 of its legs. Zelgadas had been beckoned into the gymnasium when he noticed that Zelos had been pulled aside and had now been gone several minutes. A nurse was swabbing his arm and about to insert the needle when Zelos' angry voice carried into the room. Zell sat up abruptly. "Oh, now, you must lie still, young man," the nurse scolded him.
"I'll be right back," he muttered, and scampered out of the room.
He caught sight of Val, who'd been lingering around aimlessly for a while.
"Yeah, I heard him," Val shouted. "Go on back. I'll take care of Zelly boy."
Zell returned to the gymnasium, hoping that Val could take care of Zelos. As he returned to his gurney with the bothered nurse, Lena waved and gave him a little "what's up" look. He shook his head, then allowed himself to be positioned and drained. Blood, needles, Zelos, any number of things could be up, and certainly any number of them had a damn good chance of going wrong. Val found Zelos before any member of the staff did, and hauled him out of the office, down the hall, and out to his car. He opened the side door and pushed Zelos inside, slamming it shut, then climbed into the driver's seat and started the engine.
"Wait," was all he said, as he drove out of the high school parking lot and around the block, tracing a familiar path.
They came to a halt at the park.
"Get out. We'll talk over there."
Zelos silently followed Val over to a picnic bench and plopped down on the table, resting his feet on the seat. He let his head fall to his arms, which lay folded across his knees. Val said nothing. It was Zelos who finally spoke.
It's not fair. They wouldn't let me."
"Me neither."
Zelos raised his head and looked in askance at his friend.
"It wasn't about the drugs."
"Me neither."
Val stared at Zelos. And there they sat, for several minutes, the only sounds coming from the busy squirrels in the branches overhead. Then Val spoke.
"Didn't know hospitals disclosed that information, did ya? Kids ain't got no privacy, if their parents don't bother to protect them.
Zelos shook his head. My mother released it to them.
He muttered the words, then stopped. How did you know I was raped?
Val shrugged. I saw your name on the list early, when I was cut. Anyone as badly abused as you, I just figured.
And you too? Gov?
Val shook his head. Nah, older guys in the house. His expression said, let's not talk about this anymore.
Zelos agreed, and they sat together in communal silence, sharing their awful grief and shame, which made it a little bit less sharp. After a time, Val nudged him. Come on, dude, better get back. Don't miss my next class.
Zelos smiled faintly.
Val grinned. Yeah, I said that. Pretty convoluted coming from me, huh?
Zelos just shook his head.
Nothing coming from you will surprise me ever again. Not after today.
Zelos never thought of Val the same way again, because they now shared a secret, an ugly truth about one another, instead of from one another. When they were all reunited in the Japanese class, Amelia bounded up to Zelos and Val.
What happened to you guys? You just ran off!
She sounded disappointed, and probably was. Before Zelos could spit out his trademark line, that's a secret, Val intervened with his own explanation.
Crappy nurse couldn't get the fucking needle in his arm right. He freaked out and I had to get him out of there before the blood spurting all over made him pass out.
Oh, poor Mr. Zelos!
Amelia patted his arm gently.
Maybe next time things will go smoother.
Zelos smiled. I hope you are right, Miss Amelia. Monday ended with a practice bringing the entire Slayers band back together. Lena worked them through the new songs, as far as they'd gotten with them. Val's My Heart Burns was sounding very tight and menacing already. Zelos and Lena's sexy sexy wasn't bad, except for Gowrie occasionally and inexplicably faltering on the bass line. Lena refused to perform any of their secret dance routine yet, but did have something to say about Joey, Gowrie's middle school brother.
Joey'll do great. He's taking to Zelos' drum lessons like a gull to garbage.
Lena cackled at her own jab at Philia's current pet name for Zelos, Namagome, or raw garbage in Japanese. Zelos was not amused by either Philia or Lena. After his weekend ballet event, he thought Philia would continue to treat him with what little new respect she had shown him then. But alas, it was not to happen. Her sharp tongue was honed and ready to lash out at him still. He was regretting baring his soul and telling her about his past. Maybe Zelgadis was right about hiding himself in a shell. There, no one could touch his sensitive parts. He was so immersed in his own dark thoughts that he missed entirely Lena and Gowrie's run-through of their new duet. It wasn't ready for the drums yet, anyway. Lena and Zelgadis sang through their duet, a cover of a rocker called Future Century Secret Club.
Gowrie practiced a background instrumental part, but it still needed Zell's guitar, and they couldn't decide whether or not to have anyone solo an instrumental interlude or not. All in all, the practice went okay, just a little rough at times. After the band practice broke up that afternoon, Amelia attempted to rally the forces for another project.
"It's about this weekend. Usually Daddy and I go together to collect pumpkins for the mansion and to pick up a few crates of apples for cold storage. But he can't go this year."
She nearly cried, but sniffled instead.
"I just know you'll all come and help me. I couldn't possibly carry them all by myself."
I'd like to, Amelia. But I still gotta help my dad on that house. We only got a few more weeks of good weather to count on. And the roof's gotta be done and the sides sealed up," Gowrie said apologetically.
"Oh, nuts! But you can, right, Mr. Val?"
Amelia's eyes glittered with tears. "No, he missed last weekend at the settlement, and this year he's going to contribute to our harvest festival, so he has lots to learn, right?" Philia gave him a little dig between his ribs.
"Yeah, sure," he snarled,
but he didn't look too out of sorts about it. Silphiel also had to bow out due to family obligations.
"Sure," Lena agreed, "as long as I get back in time to do some writing and I get lunch, right?"
"Yes, of course. There's always something delicious and super special."
Amelia turned towards Zell and Zelos, who were out of excuses.
"They'll come, 'cause they gotta come by my place and bring me over. What time did you say?"
Lena asked with a grin. However, Lena immediately paled when Amelia said,
8 o'clock sharp. It's a long way, and the driver has to be back at a particular time to pick up Daddy."
"What?
And it's my only morning to sleep in.
Both Lena and Zelos moaned most inharmoniously. Actually, he whined, she groaned, and it came out as a loud honk.
"All right," Zelgata sighed, but with a faraway look in his eyes and a whimsical smile spreading across his face. He'd never been pumpkin picking, or up to the apple groves in the mountains. It would be a new experience, and sounded, well, fun.